Okay, so Paul Tonko, I want to ask you about North Korea. What do you make of that whole thing?
Well, you know, it's an historic opportunity. I hope that the president moves forward with a fullness that comes with advice from the State Department and our intelligence community, and working in tandem with that so that it's got this academic and intellectual capacity to it. You know, we've learned with some items like the tariffs that he's applied and certain mannerisms that he used against North Korea with, you know, insults coming via tweet and, you know, all sorts of threats made in a condescending way. Those items, that those approaches won't help. So I'm wishing that, perhaps not hoping, because we've seen the track record, but my wish would be that we would utilize this opportunity and move forward with a very, you know, intense and in-depth message, a full message that speaks to creating a more peaceful outcome for the two nations and certainly the world. I think that, you know, we can't lose sight of the fact that there is this un-American sentiment that comes from this North Korean president, and also propaganda that has been shared out there. Exactly. And that probably is not interested in disarming their nuclear weapons. So we have to be realistic in the attempt, but I would hope that diplomacy in its truest sense is invoked here so that we can make some progress. I get concerned that, you know, the president's style at times is not conducive to that diplomatic approach, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
What do you think about what drove North Korea to do this initiative?
Well, you have a relatively young leader, and there are those who suspect that he's trying to build his notoriety on the world stage. You know, he probably can impress his fellow countrymen by saying, we got the United States to meet with us. So, you know, again, boils down to the genuineness or the disingenuous nature of the offer. And I would only add, too, that he probably is trying to muscle up against some of his neighbors. And when we do these talks, I would hope they're done in context with other world-leading communities like the Japanese and China and South Korea. You know, there has to be, I think, a partnership here. If we go it alone and don't consider the ripple effects, good and bad, that can come from this negotiation, then we're going to miss the guidelines that ought to accompany the whole discussion.
Paul Tonko, you, of course, are Mr. Environment. Certainly you were when the state legislature, and you are now that you're in the Congress on the Committee on Energy and Commerce. And so I guess I want to ask you about what has happened to the EPA. We have Judith Enck, who is the Region 2 administrator, was on our show all the time, a roundtable show, an outstanding person. And she tells us all the time that, you know, things are very dispirited at that agency.
Right. Judith Enck undeniably is a great defender of the environment. And we're blessed to have had her serve as regional administrator. But yes, the agency is under attack. And when you think about the fact that we're able to clean up the environment, make more clean the air we breathe, safer the water we drink, remediated the soils we require, all with EPA guidance and assistance, and at the same time grow the economy. So, you know, we have been able to show proof positive that you can be a sound steward of the environment and grow the economy. What we're doing here with 34% cuts to, I think it's something like $3.8 billion to the agency, is ludicrous. Administrator Pruitt of the Environmental Protection Agency has refused to even come and discuss the budget with the Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm the ranker on the subcommittee of environment, that the top Democrat on the subcommittee that reports to the Standing Committee of Energy and Commerce. We need answers. We need rationale provided us for these deep cuts. But about 40% of the agency's budget goes back to the states in terms of revenue sharing. And it was something like, I believe, $235 million that came into New York for various projects. So these numbers are very impacting. And when you cut the agency so deeply, or at least propose to cut it so deeply, two things can happen. You can end up denouncing the partnership that we should have with our states as they go forward with some very important issues. You know, it's about clean air, clean water, but it's brownfields and the remediation of those brownfields, those abandoned properties,
sure,
that can then again be returned to the tax base and provide creative, adaptable reuse, including parks, if not buildings and agencies. It's about TSCA, the Toxic Substance Control Act. How do you deal with some of the toxic materials that we use in society? How do you enter them into the equation? How do you store them? And how do you dispose of them?
So are you saying that the Trump administration doesn't give a damn?
I think their actions say just that. They don't care about, you know, and these are, some of these measures were started by under the initiatives of President Nixon. So his own party had started some of this work. There is tremendous data. There are tremendous data that speak to the evidence of growth in our communities because of this, the quality of life that's been improved, you know, the pollution into the air, the impact on climate change and global warming is causing a deep reach into our pockets because of remediation and because of recovery. And it's a very narrow bit of thinking. I don't care about the quality of life that surrounds your communities. And as a downwind state, as downwind area, New York and Massachusetts, New England, in the greater sense, downwind, the damage that is allowed then that will occur at these state levels flows eastward and into our zone. And, you know, it's just a lot of important work that has been done that needs to continue to be done. And I witnessed exactly what happened over the decades in my hometown of Amsterdam in the Mohawk Valley, a classification on the Mohawk River that started at a D level, and I believe we're at a B level now, and the vastly improved quality of the water. A precious commodity that we require for our economy. You know, all of this put at risk. I mean, everyone says, oh, it's so good to have a business person in the White House. Well, where's that business acumen? Because the business community that we associate with here in the congressional district will tell us, without clean water, with an abundance of clean water, our industrial park shut down. So it's proof positive that you're not dealing with the facts that really matter.
It's always great to have my friend, Representative Paul Tonko of New York's 20th District, in with us. Paul, we always so appreciate your coming around and being with us. And again, thanks so much. When I come back, I want to talk to you about a couple of things, the individual mandate on health care, and I want to talk to you about the Mueller investigation.